Prince Brijo by Andrew Lang, Chapter 4. How Prince Brijo was deserted by everybody. Meanwhile, Prince Brijo had to suffer many unpleasant things. Though he was the crown prince, and though his arguments were unanswerable, everybody shunned him for a coward. The queen, who did not believe in fire drakes, alone took his side. He was not only avoided by all, but he had most disagreeable scenes with his own cousins, Lady Melinda and Lady Kathleen. And in the garden Lady Melina met him walking alone, and did not bow to him. "Dear Molly," said the prince, who liked her, "how have I been so unfortunate as to offend you?" "My name, sir, is Lady Melinda," she said, very proudly, "and you have sent your own brothers to his grave." "Own brother to his grave." "Oh, excuse me," said the prince. "I am certain he has merely gone off on his travels. He'll come back when he's tired. There are no fire drakes. A French writer says they are purement fabuleux. Purely fabulous, you know." "Prince Alfonso has gone on his travels and will come back when he is tired. And was he then tired of me?" cried poor Melinda, bursting into tears and forgetting her dignity. "Oh, I beg your pardon. I never noticed. I am sure I am very sorry," cried the prince, who, never having been in love himself, never thought of other people. And he tried to take Melinda's hand, but she snatched it from him and ran away, through the garden to the palace, leaving Prince Brijo to feel foolish for once and ashamed. As for Lady Kathleen, she swept past him like a queen without a word, so the prince, for all his cleverness, was not happy. After several days had gone by, the king returned from the solitary place where he had been speaking his mind. He now felt calmer and better, and so at last he came back to the palace. But on seeing Prince Brijo, who was lolling in a hammock, translating Egyptian hieroglyphs into French poetry for his mother, the king broke out afresh, and made use of the most cruel and impolite expressions. At last he gave orders that all the court should pack up and move to a distant city, and that Prince Brijo should be left alone in the palace by himself. For he was quite unendurable, the king said, and he could not trust his own temper when he thought of him, and he grew so fierce that even the queen was afraid of him now. The poor queen cried a good deal. Brijo, being her favorite son on account of his acknowledged ability and talent, but the rest of the courtiers were delighted at leaving Prince Brijo behind. For his part, he very good-naturedly showed them the best and shortest road to Falkenstein, the city where they were going, and easily proved that neither the chief secretary for geography nor the general of the army knew anything about the matter, which, indeed, they did not. The ungrateful courtiers left Brijo with hoots and yells, for they disliked him so much that they forgot he would be king one day. He therefore reminded them of this little fact in future history, which made them feel uncomfortable enough, and then lay down in his hammock and went to sleep. When he wakened, the air was cold and the day was beginning to grow dark. Prince Brijo thought he would go down and dine at a tavern in the town, for no servants had been left with him. But what was his annoyance when he found that his boots, his sword, his cap, his cloak, all his clothes, in fact, except those he wore, had been taken away by the courtiers, merely to spite him. His wardrobe had been ransacked, and everything that had not been carried off had been cut up, burned, and destroyed. Never was such a spectacle of wicked mischief. It was as if they had been made of everything he possessed. What was worse, he had not a penny in his pocket to buy new things, and his father had stopped his allowance of £50,000 a month. Can you imagine anything more cruel and unjust than this conduct? For it was not the prince's fault that he was so clever. The cruel fairy had made him so. But even if the prince had been born clever, as may have happened to you, was he to be blamed for that? The other people were just as much in fault for being born so stupid. But the world, my dear children, can never be induced to remember this. If you are clever, you will find it best not to let people know it, if you want them to like you. Well, here was the prince in a pretty plight. Not a pound in his pocket, not a pair of boots to wear, not even a cap to cover his head from the rain. Nothing but cold meat to eat, and never a servant to answer his bell.